Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hey everybody, it's Shaq. Have you had a chance to check out the number one podcast on Podcast One? That's right, The Big Podcast with Shaq. Me and my co-hosts John Kincaid and Rob Jenners, we have a blast. With way more than just sports, we have the biggest guests from entertainment to the NBA. I promise you've never ever heard a show like this. The Big Podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Today, Adam's interview with Bill O'Reilly. Plus, Adam sits down one-on-one with Rich Eisen. And now, short-tempered, long-snapper, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, man, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on, man. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. So, we got a two-parter. We got Bill O'Reilly. I got Rich Eisen, really the same dude if you... Oh, no, wait a minute. Most different dudes on the planet. They're both going to be part of this sort of combined pod. Now, keep in mind, Bill O'Reilly, I was a guest on his show, so he sort of interviewed me as a guest on his show. So I did not interview him as a guest on my show. You're going to hear that interview next, and then Rich Eisen called in. His line was a little shaky at the beginning, but it cleared up. And Rich was a guest on the show. Bill, I was a guest on his show. Got the lay of the land? Good. Let me tell you about Geico, and then we'll jump right into this. You got a to-do list. Yeah, you want to save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? How about you jump on to geico.com? 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. And why wouldn't you want to save a few bucks? Again, not asking for a weekend commitment here. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's check it out. See if we can save you some bucks at geico.com. Okay, without any further ado, here's me being interviewed by Bill O'Reilly.
Hey, BillO'Reilly.com premium members, welcome to the No Spin News for Wednesday. Wow, August 2nd, 2017. I can't keep track of the days, but it's just crazy. Not a busy news day today as compared to what has been going on, but substantial stuff in play. I'm going to run it down real fast. We got Adam Carolla, who actually testified in front of a congressional committee about craziness on campus. And I want to get his view, and I also want to get this stupid wire in the back of my head here on that, and we'll have some fun with that. Okay, so President Trump signed the Russian sanction thing about Putin, and he said that this hurts his ability to negotiate with Russia, but he's going to sign it anyway, because if he didn't, he would have been overridden. His veto would have been overridden. Both the House and the Senate want to punish Russia. I'm with him. Putin's needs to be punished, needs to be sent a message that you mess with our democracy, it's going to hurt you. So I understand the president's point of view that he wants to try to convince Putin to do certain things, but Putin intruded on our election. He's got to be held accountable to that. All right, the second thing is this immigrant thing where Mr. Trump wants to limit legal immigration and put it on merit. About a million foreigners a year get green cards to come to the United States. I don't know what the breakdown is as far as how long that they have waited. Some of it's lottery stuff, some of it's luck of the draw, some of them are online. But Trump wants it all on merit, not family business. So if you're a PhD, very successful person in India, Trump wants you, right? If you are not, if you don't have skill set, he doesn't want you. This is not going to fly, all right? There are enough Republicans in the Senate that they're going to kill this. So the immigration thing is going to stay the same legally, not going to change. There'll be a lot of hue and cry about it. There'll be a lot of angst about it. But in the end, the Senate will never, ever limit immigration on merit. They're not going to do it, period. So it's more of a symbolic thing. Now, the message sent by Chucky Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader from New York, I call him Chucky. I've known him forever as a local reporter here in New York City. Channel 2. I didn't call him Chucky. I always call him Senator when I see him. But he sent a message out like, we're not going to cooperate on the tax cuts, just like we sabotaged Obamacare reform. Do the same thing on the tax cuts. Schumer is basically threatening the Senate, his senators. I'm going to get into this very deeply tomorrow with Dennis Miller. But I'll just tell you now, I don't think Schumer is going to be successful this time, but I could be wrong, because there are three Democratic senators, Manchin from West Virginia, Donnelly from Indiana, and Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota, who aren't cooperating with Schumer. And that means they're not going to get any money for their reelection campaigns. That's what Schumer does. Pelosi does it too in the House. You don't go along with our party line, forget about any money, forget about any pork for your district. That's the threat. All right, but tomorrow, big tax cut day right here on the No Spin News. There is a very, very good op-ed by the governor of Maine, Paul LePage, very flamboyant guy, in a Wall Street Journal today on Obamacare. Excellent. One of the best summaries I've ever read. So you might go there and look at Paul LePage's op-ed. And there is a poll from Rasmussen that says 56% of Americans no longer support, if they ever did, a border wall. So 56% of Americans don't want a border wall. It's misleading. Most Americans want security on the southern border. Do they want a wall from San Diego to Brownsville? No, because it's not feasible. Do they want the border secured? Yes. So don't worry about that poll. That really doesn't matter. And here is the story of the day, and the reason that we have our pal Adam Carolla warming up in the bullpen, he just threw a slider. This is a great story. Psychologists say that more and more young Americans are entitled. Okay, now what does that mean? I'm just going to read you this article from Psychology Today. Ooh, Psychology Today. Research has discovered that large amounts of young people are developing an entitlement complex. Right? The psychological trend comes from the belief that you are superior to others and are more deserving of certain things. This form of narcissism has significant consequences, such as disappointment and a tendency to lash out. Psychology Today reports that some examples of entitlement range from the disregard of rules, freeloading, causing inconvenience, and likely to assume the role of a leader when working in groups. So you dominate the groups, you yell and you scream. So-called millennials, who were born roughly between 1988 and 1994, tend to have this characteristic, as a 2016 study found. So millennials, the villains here. The University of Hampshire found, I think that's Hampshire, England, but it doesn't say New Hampshire. So the University of Hampshire found that youngsters who were studied on issues of entitlement scored 25% higher than people ages 40 to 60, and 50% higher than those over the age of 60, because they're the boomers, the baby boomers, brought up by parents who went through the Depression and World War II. It's what I read about in Old School Life in the Same Way. Oftentimes, life, health, aging, and social world don't treat us as well as we'd like to be treated, okay? Everybody knows that. Confronting these limitations is especially threatening to an entitled person because it violates their worldview of self-superiority. Okay, so you millennials out there. Now, Adam Carolla has a great podcast, one of the most successful podcasts in the world. And you should check it out because he's funny, but he's on it. He's on it, and he's not an ideological zombie on either side. Okay? So, Carolla, for some reason that he's going to tell us about, gets called to testify in front of a congressional committee about the chaos on college campuses and why it's happening and what he thinks about it. He comes into us tonight from Los Angeles. You're in Los Angeles, right?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
All right. So why, Carolla, knowing who you are, would Congress invite you to tell them stuff?
Your tone sounds a lot like the time somebody saw my independent movie, The Hammer, and they went, I liked it. It was good. And I was like, you don't have to go up 15 octaves to say it was good. No, it was good. And it's like, well, okay, now I know what you think of me. Yeah, it's a strange bedfellows, me and Congress. I'm doing a project with Dennis Prager. You're probably aware of him, conservative talk show host out here and all-around Jew. He and I are doing a project called No Safe Spaces, and I think somebody caught on to it and just wanted to discuss what's going on with kids and college campuses. And I had I hadn't given it a ton of thought, I mean, in terms of speaking in front of Congress. One of the things I touched on was something I touched on your show a couple of years back when I was a guest. I said they're growing up in a zero-gravity environment, meaning these kids on campus, and you think you're doing them a favor, but you're not. When they take astronauts and they put them up in outer space and they put them in zero gravity for long periods of time, they lose muscle, they lose bone mass. You hurt them because they don't have the gravity, which is life all around you every day to deal with. And while you think you may be taking it easy on them, they're losing muscle mass and bone mass. That's one of the things I touched on. The other thing,
all right, well, let me stop you there now. Who are you talking to, first of all?
Congress, and I don't know all the names.
But you were talking to a committee, right?
I was talking to a committee, yes.
You remember what the name of the committee was?
My producer will pull it up for me, and we'll tell you what the committee was.
So you flew into Washington. You go into the committee. I should know this, but I don't. You address them, and then they ask you questions.
Right.
That's how it went down?
Government Reform and Oversight. And we'll...
All right, Government Reform and Oversight Committee. And they are concerned about this violence on campus and the unacceptance of counter views, trying to shout down people you disagree with. That's what they're very concerned about, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
The next beat I hit was one I just sort of composed when I was on the plane flight over there, which is, I think our big problem with the study you just read and a lot of what we see going on around us is we decided that children were the future some time ago. I think Whitney Houston sung about it. But as I stated, and I never really thought about that, they are the future. Children are the future, but we are the present. The adults are the present, and we need in the present to start acting like adults. The administration, the presidents of these colleges, the faculty, they are the present. I have 11-year-old twins. They may be the future, but me and mama are the present, and we need to act like it.
Because if you don't act like it, the Lord of the Flies syndrome kicks in. Kids aren't able to govern. They're not able to make decisions that are based on maturity and perspective. And so bad things are going to happen.
Well, right? Also, I think bad things happen anytime you don't set limits on people who are not capable of setting limits for themselves. So if you'd like to make your kid miserable, say to your kid, go to bed whenever you want to go to bed. There is no bedtime. There is no wake-up time. There's no breakfast time. You set it. You decide it. You figure it out. I think it makes them miserable, and much like your dog, who's not trained and can sleep on the furniture, eventually they'll start chewing on itself because it wants boundaries. It craves discipline and boundaries. Not having cigarettes put out on them, but just a life defined when you don't have boundaries at that age.
But it's more than that, though, because it influences other people on campus. Now, the biggest, and I think you and I talked about this, remember at Yale, one of the nation's top universities, when there was a Halloween controversy where the PC police, and every campus has them now, a political correct police, go out and they tell people, you can't dress up in a sombrero because that's offensive to Mexicans. Or you can't wear a shamrock because that's demonizing Irish people you're putting them in a category. All of that nonsense.
Yeah.
So two teachers, one teacher, a dorm person, said, look, if you come to Yale and you're a student, you can decide or should be able to decide what kind of Halloween costume you want. All right? And if it isn't, you know, the Ku Klux Klan or a Hitler wearing an armband, lay off. I mean, this isn't a university that has to be tolerant. That person and her husband, who was a professor, they got murdered in that university. The brass didn't protect them. They both had to leave. They're both gone now, okay, because this PC police running wild, all right, was able to do this. How does that tie into what you're saying?
It's part and parcel of what we're saying. I mean, it is the fact that they are spinning out of control, and the adults who need to come in and take control aren't taking control. And you said shamrock, but it's probably more like putting on a turban and a sombrero than it would be rocking a shamrock. But I get the analogy. I feel like I said we need to bring back some civility as well. I was talking about law and order. It's sad that we live in a time when law and order has become a bad term. Like somehow there's a negative connotation to law and order. But I said, if you have order, you don't really need the law part. If everyone just acts orderly, then you don't have to have the cops and the pepper spray and the fire hoses. Everyone can just act like adults, and we would have order, and we wouldn't even need the law part. It'd just be order. And I also explained to Congress that you guys act like everybody goes to college. Not everyone goes to college. I didn't go to college. These kids need to learn this at home. They don't need to go through some half-day course their freshman year to learn how to tolerate other human beings or to learn not to be racist or hate-filled or whatever it is. That stuff gets taught at home. We need to focus a little more on what's going on at home.
Okay, but, you know, it's hard for the government to do that. When you have irresponsible parents or stupid parents or apathetic parents, it's not going to happen. But I think that what you're trying to do, you and Prager, with this anti-safe space stuff and to toughen these kids up, the real key to this is fear. That's what that's what drives all of this. Why do I care what some far-left kook like George Soros thinks? I don't care. Let him go on every MSNBC show 24/7. I don't care. I don't care if he goes and talks at the university or what he does. Because I'm not afraid of George Soros, because I know that my philosophy of life is much stronger than his. And it goes across the board on that. But the other side fears what you're saying. They fear that, gee, I might have to be held accountable for my actions. Or I might have to work hard, and if I don't, I won't succeed. If you take away the welfare state, what am I going to do if I don't want to do a job or if I'm offended by my boss? See, they're afraid, and the fear turns into hatred, and the hatred turns into destruction. And that's the cycle of events we're witnessing.
I agree. I think you left out one rung on the ladder, which is shame. I think they feel the shame of not being able to compete, not being able to excel. So then they decide all rich people must be evil, or it's daddy's money, or they're getting it from raping the land. Therefore, I'm just in throwing a rock at the guy in the Rolls Royce.
See, I never saw the shame I never saw it.
Well, shame turns to anger really quickly.
No, I understand that. But I don't see that in many of these millennials, all right, the shame. They're almost proud that they are enlightened, that they know more than O'Reilly or Corolla, all right? We're noble because we want open borders. We want everybody to come to the United States. We want everybody to be guaranteed a job, everybody. The guaranteed wage. There's even a Harvard professor now going around saying, we should abolish prisons because you know what? The people who are killing and raping and selling heroin, not their fault. It's our country that made them do that. These people have no shame. Corolla, they don't have any shame. All right? What they're peddling is a view of the world that's so destructive, yet they're proud of it. They're proud of it. And I think the essence of it is they fear that they would have to compete. They fear that they would have to obey the law. And they don't want to obey the law. They want to use drugs, they should be able to use drugs. They want to come here from Guatemala, they should be able to come here from Guatemala. The law be damned. So you and I have a little disagreement.
Well,
if you live in California, there might be more shame out in L.A. than in New York.
I think what I'm saying is, and I think we could find some common ground here, is when you're most young, let's say just young boys, 15, 16 years old, they'd love to be the captain and star of their high school football team. But they might realize that they have, you know, noodles for arms and legs. They can't compete they can't cut it. So instead of living with the sort of shame of having the jocks excel and get the ladies and so on and so forth, while they sit with the nerds, they get together with the nerds and decide that the jocks are bad people and need to be brought down. It's their shame sort of turning into anger and then into actions.
Yeah.
But if they had a magic wand, they would be captain of the football team and quarterback on Friday night.
I see that as more jealousy than shame.
Okay.
More envy than feeling ashamed that they can't throw the football 50 yards. They wish they could.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not their fault, Corolla. They can't because it's their parents' DNA that made them. I mean, it's so extreme now. You know, you're really onto something, Corolla. You really are onto something here.
Thank you.
So extreme, not only on the millennial side and not only on the college campuses, but just the mentality of the progressive left, all right, the Bernie Sanders people. It's so destructive to individual freedom. See, freedom is based on accomplishment. It's based on options. It's based on, I don't care that the world is hard. I'm free to overcome that. This is, oh, I'm a victim. Oh, you know, our freedom is bad. We should have rules about what Halloween costumes we should wear or what O'Reilly and Corolla should say on the air. We should have rules. And if they come near my campus, I'm going to go up there with a rock and try to hurt them or shout them down. See, this is so anti-freedom. This is so totalitarian, what's happening on a college campuses and in the mindset of many, many, many Americans. And it's not being fought effectively enough by the traditional side.
Well,
because they get punished. They get punished when they do it. I mean, they got me. This is all political, all right? So you get punished when you stand up to it. And that's what's happening on college campuses.
You want to talk about punishment and beyond college campuses, the aforementioned Dennis Prager, who's a classical music aficionado and lover and sort of amateur but competent conductor, is slated to conduct the Santa Monica Philharmonic as sort of a guest conductor. And I think the mayor and some of the folks have launched a campaign to not let him conduct the symphony because of his political views. He's not going there to lecture the symphony or the audience. He literally silently is going to hold a baton, and they've launched a campaign to stop him. The notion that the man, he loves Judaism, he loves politics, he is very conservative, but he's very fair-minded. The fact that he, they've taken music that you can't even carve out music, again, with no F the Police lyrics or anything whatsoever, just something Haydn composed, you know, 300, 500 years ago, whatever it was, that they're going to want to take the baton, that they can look in the mirror, they can look you in the face without blinking and say, I think after all the McCarthyism and all the stuff that they poo-pooed their entire life, this thing of I want to, they fight for the right of us having a toilet in the Modern Art Museum in New York that's gold and says America, defecate in it. They would fight to the end for that artist to have that toilet in there. But the same people would like to rip the baton out of Dennis Prager's hand. That's insane.
When you see Prager, I'm going to invite him on this program on Wednesday, next Wednesday. I didn't know about this, but it's a tremendous example of fascism run wild, and it's got to be known. We got to get that out. Carolla, good job. I'm glad you wised up some of those pinheads on Capitol Hill, and we'll talk again. I know you have a couple of projects you want to tell the folks about real quick.
Yeah, you can go to AdamCarolla.com and find my podcast, but I also make some documentary movies, racing car ones on Paul Newman's racing life and the 24-hour war. Fun. You can go to chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y.com. We have lots of features there if you'd like to check out some unique material.
All right, Carolla, we'll talk soon. Thanks a lot for helping us out. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill. Well, that's O'Reilly. We got Richie Rich coming up, Richie Rich Eisen. But first, LifeLock, free Wi-Fi, convenient. Yes, but is it safe? 92% of Americans put their personal info at risk with the public Wi-Fi. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect. You need to monitor this stuff. Well, let's let the pros do it. I mean, thieves could steal your information, put it up on the dark web, or they could set up a online payday loan in your name. You don't want that. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock, that's the industry standard. I have it for my family. You should get it for yourself. It's 2017. It's a couple bucks a month. You're online all day buying God knows what. Your information's all over the place. Get LifeLock like me. Dawson.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off your first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM15. That's ADAM15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. Without any further ado, let's listen to the nicest guy in pro football and maybe on the planet, Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen, The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on DirecTV, channel 239, also available on Fox Sports Radio from noon to 3, as well as, of course, the NFL Now mobile app. And football season's getting ready to crank up. I must say, my 11-year-old boy is gassed. He is excited about this.
Love it. That's great. Right, the demo. Wheelhouse. I love it.
No, I mean, he is, as the florist would say, he hooked up good and proper. He's going to be, he got a little taste of that, and he'll be chasing the dragon for the rest of his life. So, Rich, where are you right now?
I am driving the main streets of Beverly Hills, going to go pick up my kids, and then get in a workout to stay healthy for my children. And then the football season, because nothing messes with your diet quite a bit like craft services or those 4 a.m. call times on Sundays.
I have a theory, and it was basically substantiated by science, which is when you are in shock, you want to heal your body by giving it as much grease and as much horribleness as you can put in you. And I started, here's what I started to figure out. I couldn't figure it out. I did Loveline every night. I went to bed at 2 a.m. and I woke up at 9:30 or 10 in the morning and I had a cup of coffee and maybe a yogurt at 11 and never thought about it. But on days when I do Loveline and go to bed at 2 a.m. and I had to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to catch a flight to Atlanta out of LAX, I was dying for a breakfast burrito at 6:10 in the morning. And I would think to myself, why is it on every other day you don't eat for 5 hours? But now you got to get some chorizo in your blood. And then I realized I was traumatized by getting up at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, you know, when you go to a sporting event, all bets are off. I mean, you just go to any sporting event and hot dogs and all sorts of crap and pretzels when they're hardened and cold and you just eat like crap. Just imagine that if you do sports TV for a living, that's pretty much all the time. And I just came back from the Hall of Fame in Ohio where the delicacy was Chick-fil-A, and I sit next to Steve Mariucci, and all he wants to do is just, because he's around his wife all the time, they're empty nesters.
Right.
So when he has the work hall pass, I mean, every last measurement that might be sort of guiding his diet, it just goes out the window. It's just the worst.
I got
Mooch is a bad influence.
Mooch, I got to tell you, all the greats love Chick-fil-A. I was driving to a private airport with Jay Leno a week and a half ago, coming back from a Sonoma race course, and he asked the driver if he could find a Chick-fil-A in between Sonoma County Raceway and the private airport that was 15 miles away. He could not, but all the greats love Chick-fil-A. Give us the schedule when it's on Sunday morning, just to make me feel better about my life. What is the schedule for football season Sunday morning for Rich Eisen?
It is a call time around 4 in the morning, so wake up around 3-ish. And then, you know, get there, soak in whatever the heck's happening, and there's always something happening to get ready for a Sunday with, you know, usually anywhere between 9 to 11 early games. A four-hour rundown that has a meeting that's almost as long the day before with Irvin and Mooch and Michael. I mean, it's Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner, who just went in the hall 2 days ago. And then 4 hours of just putting the wheel on 10-2 and making sure it doesn't go off the road, you know?
Kurt Warner just went to the Hall of Fame?
He did. Half the greatest show on turf is now in, Adam. Now they got to get Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce in. And then everybody, which, you know, Isaac Bruce is long overdue. I just looked at this today. I had no idea. He ranks third on the all-time receptions list. Only two other people have more catches than him, you know. And he's eighth on the all-time receiving yards list. It's just, he never said a word, and he did it all in St. Louis. And so I guess he keeps getting overlooked. But Warner went in 2 days ago, and it was really cool.
How much, couldn't happen to a nicer guy, how much, as an analyst, would you like to see the Hall of Fame as a sort of nuts and bolts statistical analysis of what you get in? Because I feel like some guys are punished because they didn't say anything. Some guys are punished because they said too much. Either way, we want to know what they're doing on the field. Or how much of their own flavor would you like to mix into this, if any at all?
Personally, I think it's all about statistics. That's it. That's all it is. I mean, it shouldn't matter if they were mean to reporters or not. I mean, it really shouldn't. It's like, what did you do between the starting and final gun? I mean, that's it. And truly, you know, personal aspects should be removed.
If you're Pete Rose or Adrian Peterson, right, not a factor.
Well, Pete Rose, it should not be a factor. Correct. You know, so he could be banned from all different forms of baseball life about going to stadiums, or he can't do anything with the Reds. But why that should keep him out of what is on the door in Cooperstown? It's the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum, is what it says. And Museum. So you can't tell the story of baseball without Pete Rose. And if you want, just put on this plaque that, you know, he got popped for gambling, and that tells the story. But The guy has more hits than anything else. And in the same way that you can't, you know, you're not removing O.J. Simpson from that bus room. He was one of the greats while cleaning him up. And that's kind of the way I see it.
All right. So Rich Eisen is on record for defending degenerate gamblers and liking child abuse. I understand, Rich. That's an interesting point of view. But understood and noted.
That's one way to spin it.
That's what I heard. That's just what I heard, Rich. I'm just repeating back what I heard. Yeah, I agree. The question is, OJ's in, but OJ wouldn't have gotten in. And I'm with you. It's called the football or the baseball or the rock and roll or whatever it is, Hall of Fame. Let's completely and utterly eliminate everything else. Focus on that. And then you can put your addendum next to whatever you want to. Or, by the way, you don't have to, because everyone knows what OJ did and everyone knows what Pete Rose did.
Yeah, and it, you know, you could say, did somebody win enough championships along with their statistical greatness? To me, the story should always, the metric should always be, can you tell the story of the sport without this guy? And if the answer is yes, then that guy or woman does not get in the Hall of Fame. If it's no, you can't. I mean, Terrell Davis just got into the Hall of Fame after an 11-year wait because he had a 7-year career, essentially. And they thought that, you know, a lot of people who left to vote on this didn't think he did enough in the 7 years, but he's a 2-time Super Bowl winner, an MVP of one of the Super Bowls and one of the NFL seasons, and a 2,000-yard rushing member for a single season. And he still holds a dozen records for the Denver Broncos. You can't tell the story of the NFL without Terrell Davis or Kurt Warner.
Okay, Rich, you're giving me a headache with all this Terrell Davis talk.
He did have a migraine in the Super Bowl years ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, see, that's just me trying to go next level on it.
No, I'm just making funny. I'm making a migraine reference. You know what I love?
Oh.
I was making a migraine reference, Rich Eisen.
I love it.
I roll migraine deep.
Migraine humor is my favorite humor.
I you know what I love most about Terrell and the migraine in the Super Bowl? First off, I think we've evolved as a society where black folk get headaches now. It used to be just the white man's realm. Also, I like the fact that he got off the field and he said, I blurred vision. I have such a crazy headache. I can't see. And the coach put him out there and said, we need you out on the field. And he said, I can't see, not to carry the ball so that the defense thinks you're going to carry the ball. We'll pass it. We'll do something else with it. But you need to be there for the threat of being you.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you can't see, they don't know you can't see. I mean, one of the greatest football games ever in college, USC and Texas years ago, when the Vince Young beat them. A lot of people were still scratching their heads on that fourth down play that USC didn't convert to end the game. Reggie Bush wasn't on the field. And they thought, like, even if you're not giving it to them, you should put them out there. The same sort of thing. Put them out there and make people think that they can actually, you know, give you the ball.
In a weird way, like the best compliment you can ever have paid to your ability to do something is if the coach says, even if you can't do it, go stand out there and look like you might.
Shouldn't that be in every walk of life?
I feel that way for podcasting. I just like to show up. Just the threat Carolla may open his mouth is enough to keep other podcasters at bay.
That's exactly right.
my beloved Rams, I see, are 100-1, 28th in the rankings for winning the Super Bowl. The Pats are 3-1, Cowboys 8-1. Who do you have a thought about who could steal it away this year?
Well, I mean, the one team I think that's got a chance to keep Tom Brady, to make Tom Brady get on a plane to play for the right to go to the Super Bowl in an AFC Championship game is the Raiders. I really like the way they're looking. Marshawn Lynch coming back is really a delight. That's like one of the more terrific aspects of this season, that he's back and adding his Marshawn Lynchness to the whole thing. And the Raiders are, as a fan of the Rams, as you know, when the Rams even began to twitch with the idea of moving, the fans didn't show up. They lost interest. The Raiders have already announced that they're gone. and we'll never see this again, and fans are pretty much lining up to go, and Marshawn Lynch is coming out of retirement to win one for the city before they go, and everybody's really happy with it.
And
Marshawn's got a really good chance.
Sorry for cutting you off. Marshawn's an Oakland guy, too, people should know, not a Seattle guy, per se.
Exactly.
Right.
So he's coming back to win one for the city. And it's pretty neat. The NFC is totally wide open. I think the Giants might have one last Eli versus Brady Super Bowl in them. We'll see how that plays out if last year's defense does what it's doing again this year, along with an offense that added Brandon Marshall. I really like them a lot to win that division and maybe make a deep run with Eli getting hot again. Aaron Rodgers supposedly feels is better. He's the best he's ever felt, certainly 10 years in. He's already talking about playing another 10 years. You know, and speaking of your Rams, we had on my show, we had the new coach in. Have you met him?
No.
You should have him on your show. You would love him.
Who is the new coach?
Sean McVay. He's practically barely 30 years old, for real. His grandfather was the architect of the San Francisco 49er heydays, who drafted Montana and Dwight Clark and worked with Bill Walsh. So he's like a football legacy who rode the bus when Steve Mariucci was the coach of the 49ers. And he comes from the Redskins offense, where he's an offensive genius, and he sounds just like John Gruden.
Wow.
Like, you close your eyes, and he sounds like Gruden, and he's got a red-hot girlfriend. He's got all sorts of 21st-century millennial, you know, mojo working for him, and I think he's going to be great at it. I really do, and it's somebody who you would never expect to be a coach in the NFL, and here he is in Los Angeles, and if they win, he'll be here till he's old and gray.
Well,
I think you'd love him.
I think the reason Rich Eisen and myself love football so much is in basketball, if you have a really bad hand dealt to you as a coach, you can do something with it, but you're not going to win that many games. Baseball, even more so, I feel. Football, when you have that sort of diabolical genius running your program, or some of the folks that the guys you've mentioned in the past, or the guys we talk about, Belichick or Bill Walsh or guys like that, you have a great chance of winning because everyone else is sort of as God made them. You know, everyone's got big linemen and fast DBs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the ability from a pure athletic standpoint probably doesn't vary much from, I would be interested, Rich Eisen, if they could get the physical ability of, let's say, the New England Patriots. It's literally like they do in the combines. Let's take your vertical leap. Let's take your 40 time. Let's take your shuttle time. And let's see how many times you put up 225 pounds. I will bet you that the New England Patriots would rank somewhere between 16th and 24th.
I agree.
And yet they just keep winning Super Bowls. So now we're taking the physicality and we're going, the physicality is great, but if it's not guided, we got nothing.
Yes, that's 1,000%. And that's why Belichick's the greatest ever, because how he will beat you one week is exactly not, he'll beat you a different way the next time he sees you, or the next week he plays a different opponent and his roster, he could basically mold it in a way that makes him more, I guess, a matchup advantageous to you in week two and week three. He morphs from week to week and sometimes quarter to quarter, as you even just saw in the Super Bowl last year. Year to year, it's totally different. I mean, it's totally different. And every single player knows what the hell they're doing collectively and individually better than any other team. Where the ball's on the ground, and most everybody else walks away from it because they think the play is over, a Patriot will pick it up and run it in for a score because he knows it's really a turnover. And that's Belichick. And this guy, again, Sean McVay, you should reach out to him and say you want him on your pod to beat him. Kick the tires on him yourself. I think you'll really love him. And he's got a quarterback. If he didn't like him, he wouldn't have taken the job, because he's, like I said, he's barely 30, and a lot more opportunities would come his way. He jumped at this one, and I think they might actually make some hay this year.
I'm going to tease, thank you for that, and I will reach out. We will reach out to him. I'm going to tease this because I'm going to do a quick spot here. But we had the goalpost height changed. We even had the other thing I complained about, which is in OT, field goal's not going to get it. You got to get, you got to put it in the end zone on first possession. Yeah. Can't be settled with a coin toss. What is coming up? Because you're all up on the rules committee in the competition committee. Yeah. What's coming up either this year or in the next few years, or what might we be able to get across in the next few years? So says Rich Eisen of the NFL Network. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. You take precautions every day. Rich, you didn't dismantle the airbags in your Range Rover, did you? No, you did not.
Yeah, I did not.
Right. No. That's right. You take precautions. How about Simply Safe? No hassles. Just order it online. Completely wireless. Comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in the wall, no crawling around, no muss, no fuss, no nothing. Round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch, only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contracts. It's Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I. These guys, great home security system. Pennies on the dollar, up and running in an hour. No installation fees. You do it yourself. It's easy. I did it. Mike August did it. Dawson did it. And get 10% off when you order today. That is simplysafeadam.com. You get 10% off. Rich, the rules committee, what's going on?
Well, they're allowing players to celebrate this year.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, they're actually allowing players to use the football as a prop once again, as long as it's not used to replicate dookieing or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I heard somebody in the Arena League, I think, did my Duke move. They shouldn't have named the ball the Duke, right?
They did. The ball is nicknamed the Duke because that was Wellington Mara's nickname, the old school owner of the Giants. But they don't want the Dookie, so you can't do that. But back in the day, which I always loved, that, you know, players would perform CPR on the football or spin it and warm their hands by the like it's a fire, or
right.
you just that they're allowing to do this year. Other than that, I mean, there's really nothing that's considerably different. The one thing I would love to make happen again is the replay GIMP, which is anytime it's mentioned, Adam. I mean, it's groundbreaking stuff. Beyond groundbreaking stuff. And I would love to bring that to the NFL. It might be a tough sell, but I'm up for it. You are.
The key to the replay GIMP, and for those who haven't heard it in a while or are new to the program, need a little refresher. I don't like the idea that the ref says it's not conclusive. It looks like he fumbled before he hit the ground, but there's not enough to overturn the call that was made on the field. The replay GIMP, of course, is down in the bowels of the stadium. He's kept in a windowless cage, and he makes the decision based simply on what he saw. There's not enough to overturn. He doesn't know what day it is. So one of the key components of the replay GIMP is his mistress, who his wrangler sort of mistress is like dominatrix lady who beats him mercilessly with his leash while she runs him. They run him out like they run the buffalo out on Colorado, right? And she's beating him and flogging him the entire time. Yep. He's confused, and the sunlight is wreaking havoc with his eyes. Not used to seeing light. She's beating him, and then he goes under the hood. Sweet relief.
See, now, part of the beauty of it, Adam, is while you're trying to improve the replay system, which is a noble gesture, at the same time, there's just a lot of entertainment value to this. There's a lot of flair, the entrance, the presentation, the flogging. It adds to the product.
Yeah, I agree, Rich. What we're doing is we're making lemonade into Gimpade over here, which is The replay, the biggest knock on the replay is how boring and time-consuming. You got to stop the game and this, that, and the other. People be clamoring. People be running back from the bathroom with their pants around their ankles if they heard the GIMP was hitting the field. It'd be the best part of any game. And again, I have young children. They get bored easily. They need something to keep them occupied. And
would you, because you know the way that replay works and it survives though, Adam. There's the one thing outside of the whole bondage aspect to it. What makes replay work is uniformity. That what is called in Baltimore gets called in Arizona, gets called in Green Bay, because it's all from the rule book. I mean, how would you be able to get 32 or 31, obviously, because the Jets and Giants share a GIMP, one would imagine.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
How would you be able to get 31 GIMPs that could be uniform, that we know that there's no competitive imbalance amongst the GIMPs? That's my question.
From the same movie, you look at me as Mr. Wolf. I will handle it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just Rich... You're the eye candy who does the talking on the air.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who takes care of business behind the scenes. I roll deep in the GIMP world. I have a lot of GIMP connections. I don't want to get into too much GIMP detail right now, but
sure.
Suffice it to GIMP say, I can make a couple phone calls right now and probably half those stadiums would be outfitted with GIMPs before the day was over. So,
and they're all made in the team colors. Or is it all just one uniform?
I have them.
These are questions that will be asked of me by the front office.
Standard black studded basic uniforms, although the Raiders fans, after a few beers, could think it was one of their own in there. But that'll be standard. And back to that, I'm back to Raiders. Marshawn Lynch is a perfect throwback Raider when they used to, when Al Davis would get all the crazy sort of island of misfit toy players in the league and bring them back on for a second bite of the apple. That's a perfect modern day version of that is Marshawn Lynch, and going to the Raiders is the perfect team for him.
Well, the NFL Network did their training camp show from their training camp in Napa, by the way. It's in wine country. And he came up to the set on live TV. Not only hit on the female host repeatedly, but dropped no fewer than 3 S-bombs in the live 5-minute segment. It was a total poop show train wreck, but Marshawn Lynch is one of a million. I love him. I really think they have a chance. I mean, in real football terms, I think the Raiders have a real shot.
Well, I love that because I'm just one of these guys that when... You know, I don't know, the Jaguars are on a roll. Not that they are, but I like a place. I like to live in a world where the Yankees are in contention and the Dodgers are sniffing around and the Giants, back to football Giants, and the Raiders. And, you know, the teams that we grew up with are in the hunt. And I don't, you know, I'm not a Raiders fan, but when Raiders put together a couple 3-13 seasons, I don't think it's good for football, and it's not good for my general psyche.
I agree with you. And then they're going to go to Vegas, which is going to be totally off the hook, you know, when that happens.
Rich, I know you got a heart out, so I will let you pick up your children from their little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs. That's where Dr. Drew went.
Yeah.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays, noon to 3 on DirecTV. I'm privileged to say I've been a guest on the show a couple of times and look forward to coming back this year.
Love it.
Also available on Fox Sports Radio. And then, of course, we're firing up the NFL Network. So let's not forget about that. RichEisenShow.com is where you go to listen to Rich Eisen. Rich, we'll see you soon, my brother.
Great being all of you. Take care, bud.
I always love me some Rich Eisen and love me some LegalZoom. It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com. Preparing your family's future is the most important thing you'll do all summer long. So go to LegalZoom. That's LegalZoom.com/prepare. You get a free kit designed to provide you with the tools you need all in one place, whether it's a will or a trust. Whatever's right for you, you'll get special discounts, an estate plan checklist, ebook, and other help It's going to help you decide to make the right decision. And again, get it done. Get away from that Mark Garagos-esque hourly billing, and they save a ton of do-re-mi. If you have more questions, you can always get advice from their network of attorneys, available now in all 50 states. So, LegalZoom, not a law firm, but they provide all this a la carte, and they have legal assistants and attorneys you can speak to in all 50 states if you need to. So, let's take care of those affairs, people. Remember your family. Get that will, get that trust going, and get it at LegalZoom, Dawson.
Go to LegalZoom.com/prepare today. There's no obligation, just great resources to help you protect everything you care about during National Make-A-Will Month. That's LegalZoom.com/prepare.
Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast. And you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast.
Eastman Guitars presents the Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour, August 22nd in Santa Barbara, California, with Loxy. Baby, let's roll. Kills. Just another Southern California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. Now the pretty girls start to look the same. And comedy with your host, Matt Edgar.
Hi, you working high at Chevron? Good to know, dude. Now I know where to get my weed and gas. I'll put 20 on 10 and 20 on a 10.
And special guest, Taylor Morgan.
And I remember when I got my first check for acting, the check said right on it, actor's fee. And I showed a friend of mine, who was like, you know, I really want to frame it, because it's the first one, but I sort of need the $50. And he said, no way, you frame it, I will give you the $50. Which I thought was so nice. So I showed another friend, I was like, you know, really, frame it.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour at Soho Restaurant and Music Club. Follow on Twitter at SohoSB. Sponsored by Eastman Guitars. Visit EastmanGuitars.com. Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Plus Matt Edgar and Taylor Morgan. Tuesday, August 22nd. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.